Well, that wasn't supposed to continue. That was music by James Swearengen, called An American Portrait, played by the Washington Winds here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local performances. Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us today. Our program today, first part of it anyway, will have to do with a group we've talked about in years past, right around this time of year, although we've talked about it at least a couple of times under a different name than that by which it is now known. It was originally called the Cartoons Community Summer Band, and so-called, as in C-A-R-T-U-N-E-S, because it is a program sponsored by something called the Community Arts Resource, which at the time was based in St. Joseph and isn't quite now, but they've also renamed the band. It's essentially the same entity and this with the same purpose. It's called the Sounds of the Prairie Community Band, and now rehearsing at Parkland College in Champaign, and with performances coming up this summer in St. Joseph, Homer, and Mahomet. And with me today is the new director of the band, whose name is Christy Lorberg, and also the eternal, seemingly eternal president of the Community Arts Resource, and also chair of the band, who is Ross Bundy. Thanks, Ross and Christy, for coming in.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Ross, I'll give you the first word. You've been here numerous times, as I say, just about this time of year. Community Arts Resource has sponsored different organizations, usually in the summer. There's been a jazz band, there's been a chorus, and there's, I guess, always been a band.
Yes, there's always been a band.
There's still a band, but there's not still the others.
Yeah, the other ones have kind of died off for various reasons, but yeah, we still have the band. The band's still going strong, so we're very happy about that.
Why do you think that one's the one that has stuck?
Oh, well, I think there are a lot of things that contributed. Really, the reason the other organizations died were because of the directors that we had at the time left. So there were transitions that were going on with in the organization, and we just couldn't find a person to really fill that role in time. And so there were various reasons, but that was one of the big drivers, especially for the jazz band that we had. So,
but there's obviously a certain appeal of this particular community band and the approach that you take, which is, I think, maybe a little different than some community bands, at least as I've read the description about how seating is approached and things like that. What was the idea behind it when you got the group started, and what's been modified in the years since?
Yeah, so there were a couple of different reasons we started the band. One was just to have a place where music was approachable. There were lots of people that I knew in the community that were kind of like, yeah, I might play, but, you know, the U of I band is too hard for me, and they're all professors and music students, and it's just kind of, they were felt overwhelmed by this. And so one of our goals was to give a safe, fun experience for people that are just amateur musicians. They love music, love to play. They're not music professionals often, although we've actually over the years acquired a few music professionals that really are the backbone of the band and do wonderful jobs for us. But that was kind of the goal, is to make music approachable. So we're laid back. You know, not everyone, you don't have to come to every rehearsal. You don't have to come to every concert. We only rehearse once a week. We kind of let you do your own thing on rehearsal time whenever you can do it. And then we just have fun activities during the summer and have a lot of fun at the concerts. So that was one of the big motivators. Another one was to allow interactions, and particularly when we were in St. Joe, we knew that the band was struggling at the time within the school, and so we were trying to help that out. And so this gave us an opportunity for the students to work, to associate with people who were lifelong musicians. Even if they were just amateurs, it was still an opportunity to see music throughout their entire lives. And I think it's really made a difference for some of the, we have some fantastic young players in the group that are developing. So,
and you just started rehearsals, what, last week?
Yeah, that's right.
I guess, and you rehearse on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And so inevitably at this time of year, one of the reasons you come in is that you know you could use some more players on certain instruments.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So it's publicity on both ways. You know, we certainly want people to come to our concerts, but we also want people to be in the group. So particularly this year, we're looking for clarinetists. That's probably our biggest need. We always have trouble with high woodwinds for whatever reason, and high brass typically is a problem. We could use a few more flutes, maybe an alto sax or two. And is there any other needs that we have in the band?
Oh, trumpets.
Trumpets and a percussionist. We always need a percussionist, this common theme every year. So,
well, I'm familiar with that one as a conductor of the youth orchestra here in Champaign-Urbana. For some reason, getting a percussionist for the orchestra has been challenging. I'm a little surprised it's challenging for band, because I've always been told that, you know, it's more fun to play percussion in band than orchestra, but I suppose that depends whether you play timpani or not.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I don't know. Well, before we sort of recap the needs and so on, I know you've had a couple of different directors for the band, and Chuck Hess was doing it the last 2 or 3 years. So why don't you introduce... I'll let you introduce the new director, Christy.
Yeah, so we're really happy to have Christy with us. She's actually, you studied under Chuck, right?
Yes.
So Chuck was your teacher for a while, and so Chuck recommended Christy, and we met up one day, and I talked to her, was very impressed, and she became highly recommended from Chuck as well, and so we kind of just said, well, let's go for it. Maybe, I don't know, Christy, why don't you tell more about yourself and your background?
Sure. I grew up in Danville, and Chuck was a teacher of mine at Danville High School. And then I came here to Champaign to study music ed at the U of I. For the past 4 years, I've been teaching in El Paso, but over the summer, I accepted a job at Jefferson Middle School here in Champaign. El Paso, Illinois.
Okay.
So I'm teaching middle school band there. And actually, I was approached by Chuck as well during the fall, during the marching band season, about this opportunity that might come up. And I'm really looking forward to our season this summer.
That might come up because he knew he was done with it?
Well, he lives over toward Danville, and so when we moved to Parklands from St. Joe, it really was quite a distance for him to drive. And so he said, you know, if you can find another director, that might be advantageous. He was willing to stay on, but he said, you know, let's look and see if we can find somebody else first.
Well, which actually raises a question. How far do you go to find players? I mean, what's the range of communities that are represented in the band so far, or in the band in the past, however you like.
Yeah, we have people that drive from an hour or more away, so it's quite a reach. In spite of the fact that we're small, and we claim that we may not be as nice as the U of I bands, you know, with all the students and professors there.
As nice meaning?
Meaning maybe as the number of professionals, music professionals in the group. I think the sound quality of the group is really fantastic, and I was impressed this year. Every year it just gets better, and as soon as Christy put the baton down the first time, it was a nice sound, and I was just really impressed with the quality of the group, especially this year. So,
well, that's always good for anybody to hear. Although, Christy, I wonder if, as a director, when you hear somebody say, well, you don't have to come to all the rehearsals, you don't have to come to all the performances, does that strike fear in your heart? It certainly does to me.
Yeah, sometimes a little bit. But I think it also makes people feel better about coming and trying it out. And I think that's the thing that gets people interested and attached, because often if you come to one rehearsal and you're not committed yet, you find that you're having a really good time and that you really want to keep playing and keep be prepared for rehearsal and be prepared for the performance. And I think in general, as adults especially are very aware of how much they need to do in order to be prepared. We kind of place the trust on the members of the ensemble to do what they need to do and let us know what's going on in terms of rehearsals and performances. Particularly in the summer, everyone is very, very busy, and the goal being to keep adults playing and give an opportunity for students to play alongside adults, I think, you know, the flexibility is key.
Well, I want to address that a little bit more as we go along, but let's hear some more music. The music we're playing today are all pieces that are going to be on your programs this summer. It's essentially the same program or some version of a similar program that will be played at each of the three concerts?
Yeah, roughly. We'll roll some of the pieces on or off, but because of the nature of group, again, we're not going to change the whole concert every time. But yeah, there is some variety between concerts.
So, for example, we started out with this music by Swearingen called An American Portrait, and you've got a couple of pieces by John Williams on this concert. There's a piece simply called John Williams in Concert, and then a medley of tunes from The Cowboys. Is this one of his earlier films, or just one that I somehow missed?
I'm not sure where that falls in the timeline. I think it would probably be among the earlier.
Yeah, it's an old John Wayne movie. So it's the one where John Wayne dies halfway through the movie.
The only one where John Wayne dies?
Well, no, it's not the only one where John Wayne dies, but he dies actually quite early in the movie, surprising, I think, anyway. So
So how does the movie, could the movie possibly go on without John Wayne?
Yeah, it's all about the boys. So the boys are the cowboys. So it's a bunch of young boys, and John Wayne's kind of the leader, but halfway through he gets shot, and then the boys are kind of on their own doing the cowboy thing, having been inspired by this great man that John Williams, John Wayne was.
So if John Wayne was in this movie, one assumes that it was a relatively early score of John Williams, because John Wayne's been gone for
a while,
yeah. Let's just say.
I could be crazy, but I'm sure this is the right movie. It's The Cowboys.
Yes.
Well, if it's not, I'm sure someone will call
and correct
get
me.
The message over here somehow or another. Well, here is the what's known as the main theme to The Cowboys, music by John Williams, here on Live and Local. We'll be right back. The main theme from the film The Cowboys from 1972, music by John Williams, directed by Mark Rydell. The movie was, the performance here was the City of Prague Philharmonic, conducted by Paul Bateman from a CD called The Wild West, the Essential Western Film Music Collection. And indeed, John Wayne was in that film with Roscoe Lee Brown, Bruce Dern, and Slim Pickens. So just in case anybody had any doubt, that is confirmed. And so we're all settled in our minds here, which is a nice thing to be. That's one of the pieces that will be on the concerts this summer by the Sounds of the Prairie Community Band, which has just started up rehearsals. And if you are a band instrumentalist, you're welcome to join the band. More details on that to come. And their first concert is coming up on the 21st of June. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, and our broadcast is made possible with support from Sweeney Brothers Carpet and Rug Gallery of Bloomington, a Norrison preferred dealer at 11 Westport Court on Bloomington's east side. Sweeney Brothers, where the beauty of a room starts with a floor. So we were talking a little bit about the approach of this band being hopefully more relaxed for the players than under, well, whatever sort of band has a little higher pressure situation. But also my curiosity about the idea that you know, if you need to miss a rehearsal or two, or if you need to miss a performance, that's okay. But I wonder, what happens if your lone first trumpeter, let's say, is one of the ones who's not going to be there? Mm-hmm. Christy Lorberg's the director. I know you haven't led the band before, but how would you imagine that's going to work out?
Fortunately, I've been close enough to the community here, and as I was growing up, that I feel like I know some people around who I could probably call to replace that person even at the last minute. Mm. You know, I just reach out to people I know that play trumpet pretty well and sight read pretty well. Those are the two main things I'd be looking for if I needed to replace someone, say, the week before a concert. I'd probably ask them to attend the last rehearsal before the concert so that they could at least get a run through of the music, and I'm sure that we could probably find someone that could fill that spot in a pinch.
You sure do look really relaxed about the idea, which, as I said earlier, just sort of a petrify me. Ross, is that sort of, I mean, how often has this really happened in the past for the band?
It actually happens all the time.
Really?
Yeah. So it's not unusual for like the entire sax section to be gone on the 4th of July, or then you're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And you know, but fortunately, over the years, we've actually built up a pretty good network of people, and so whenever we have a need, we have people that will just step in for a concert. There are a lot of great musicians in our community, and so you know, there's several people that can just step in even the day of a concert and say, you know, hey, I can play and sight read and do very well for a performance. So
I suppose that sort of caters to the needs of two different types of people. One is the person who really wants a kind of a relaxed approach to rehearsals, and the other is the sort of person, such as me probably, who doesn't like to sit in rehearsals at all.
Okay.
I mean, I love to rehearse as a conductor, but I'm not that fond of being rehearsed,
yeah.
Which is, that probably says any of a number of things, but people who've got the chops and can come in and just say, oh, this is a nice gig.
We do try to encourage people to come to rehearsals when they can, and really that's for the ensemble, because
if
we have half the ensemble always missing, it does make the rehearsals less enjoyable. But on the other hand, to be quite honest, we do have people that show up the day before, you know, the last rehearsal before the concert and say, okay, I'm here now, you know, and they're members of the band. They've paid their fees and dues, whatever. But they only come to just those last rehearsals. So we kind of do get the whole spectrum of players.
You realize as we're talking about trying to recruit for the band and fill in some of these holes that there's a certain population of musicians you're probably scaring away right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, maybe so. You know,
the ones who find that a really insecure experience.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, you know, I mean, we take care of the bands for the most part. I mean, we do ask the band to help us recruit people, and it's part of our lifeblood to to spread that network as broadly as we can. But, you know, when it comes to the concerts, you know, it'll be me and Christy that are sitting there worrying about the sax section. The sax section just lets us know, hey, you know, we're not going to be here. And then we kind of take it from there. And I don't think that the band has really ever been stressed or uncomfortable by this. We just make it work.
And reminding folks that we are talking about the Sounds of the Prairie summer community band, which has in the past been based in St. Joseph, meaning that rehearsals are there, and the Community Arts Resource, which is the sponsoring organization, is based in there, was based in there. Did you move away?
I moved to Mahomet.
Yeah, that's...
So I guess you might argue that where I am is where Community Arts Resource is. Today it's in your your studio.
Well, when I look at the website and I see Ross Bundy, president, and a lack of other officers, and Ross Bundy, chair, and a lack of other... You know, then it seems like it's pretty much Ross Bundy.
We do have a kind of a backbone of people that help get things done. But most of those people don't want to have their names put on the website. And so, yeah, that's fine.
So if there's problems, they're not responsible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's not publicly known that they're involved with the organization. Well, let's talk about the repertoire. We've heard a couple of pieces that are on the programs. The first of which is going to be on June 21st, by the way, in St. Joseph at Kolb Park. And more on the other performances coming up as well. Christy, how did you go about deciding what to put in a program when you didn't necessarily know what kind of a band you were going to have?
That's a really good question. The first thing I did was I really like studied the programs of the past few years and kind of compared them to just what I knew about that particular set of band literature and groups that I've had in the past or played in the past that played those pieces. I chose a few pieces that I had played in the past few years just because I know them really well and I know that they work really well with, or it seemed like they matched pretty well with the type of ensemble that was represented in the previous programs. I also, knowing that our second concert was just 2 weeks away from our first concert and it was going to be the 4th of July, I kind of tried to keep an American theme, especially in the first concert cycle, so that it would translate well into a good 4th of July concert. I think there should be a good balance of like music that people have never heard before and music that's kind of standard band repertoire and music that's more popular, like the John Williams, the movie music, and we're doing an Oklahoma medley, things that people will recognize.
And you have an arrangement of the wonderful song Shenandoah, of course.
Yes.
But then there's a number of marches that... people might or might not recognize when they hear it, but they might, I don't anyway, recognize the names of them. For example, here's one called Hosts of Freedom by Carl King. I know the name Carl King is the writer of a lot of circus marches and other mostly marches.
Yeah.
Is this one that would be, you know, sort of standard repertoire, or is this one that maybe not quite?
It might be considered semi-standard repertoire. One of the reasons why I chose that one was because I knew that we were going to have a strong trombone section, and I know that Carl King writes pretty well for trombone sections, and it is a march that I haven't played in a while, and I just, you know, pulled it up and thought this would be kind of fun to rehearse. I know that the band typically plays a couple of marches, and I kind of wanted to pull some things that people, especially with marches, that people maybe aren't as familiar with, because you would tend to hear the same two Seems or three so. Marches all the time. So
Stars and Stripes. And
so that. I like to kind of pull more unfamiliar music when it comes to marches.
Well, let's familiarize our listeners with it.
Absolutely.
If you're going to go hear the concert, sometimes it's actually valuable to have heard a piece once, and then you can almost enjoy it more when you hear it live. Here's Hosts of Freedom by Carl King. This is a performance by University of Illinois Symphonic Band conducted by the venerable Harry Beejan. Well, I say venerable, he's not around anymore, is he? Is he?
No, I don't know.
I should know. I'm not sure. Well, somebody will definitely call in and tell me that here on Live and Local. Music by Carl King called Hosts of Freedom, performed by the University of Illinois Symphonic Band, conducted by Harry Beejan, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That music will be played by the Sounds of the Prairie Community Band, conducted by Christy Lorberg. Christy is band director at Jefferson Middle School and also works with bands at Kenwood and Westview Elementary Schools in Champaign. And the Sounds of the Prairie Band is rehearsing now, meaning they started last week at Parkland College in Champaign, and will be giving their first performance on Saturday, June 21st at Kolb Park in St. Joseph. These are all outdoor concerts.
Yes, that's right.
Why do you choose outdoors?
Because that's where the people are.
I mean, is that the feeling that if you're going to have a summer band, you need to play outdoors?
Yeah, I mean, it works better that way. We try to schedule our concerts with some event or venue in the area. So St. Joe has a summer concert series, so we play with them. Of course, the 4th of July, everybody's outside for the fireworks. And so we've played in Homer since we started in 2009. So 6 years, something like that. We've played with Homer every year, so that's great. And then our final concert is with the Museum of the Grand Prairie, which they do a summer concert, which is in their gardens.
And that Museum of the Grand Prairie is at like the woods.
Yeah, in Mahomet, that's
in
right.
In Mahomet, so that'll be. So June 21st in St. Joseph, July 4th in Homer, behind the village hall there. And then August the 10th. A Sunday at Museum of the Grand Prairie. All those outdoors. The first two concerts start at 7 o'clock in the evening, and then the Sunday concert is at 5 o'clock. But we'll try to have this on our calendar and let you know as things come a little closer to what's happening there. What happens if it rains? That's always a thing about outdoors.
Yeah, it does. So for some of the concerts, we have rain dates. So for St. Joe, it'll be a week later if it rains. Usually for Homer, although I haven't heard officially when their rain date is, but whenever they move their fireworks is when we'll do the concert. Usually it's the Saturday following the 4th, so it would be the next day in this case since the 4th is on a Friday. And for Lake of the Woods, I actually don't think that they have a rain date. I'll have to double check with them, but I don't think we have plans for a rain date if they get rained out. So
it's not allowed to rain on August 10th.
That's right.
Hope somebody upstairs is listening because that's important information. We were talking earlier about the program. Some other people represented besides John Williams and Carl King. Somebody named, is it Bocock? Bocook?
Bocook.
Bocook. He's what is America's Finest? Is it a composition of his or an arrangement?
America's Finest is a medley of all the Armed Forces theme songs. Mm. And so it's one that the band played a different medley of Armed Forces mm-hmm. songs last year. And it's just a little bit different setting. Another kind of 4th of July piece that will allow us to honor anyone who's served.
I wanted to ask you one other question about kind of the philosophy of the band and having to do with seating. I was just reading through the website, and it says here that, at least initially anyway, performers are invited to sit in any order within their section, and parts aren't assigned. Is that something that stays true? Mm-hmm. So what happens if everybody says, I want to play first, I want to play first part?
I haven't had that happen yet. But if it came down to it, I would be willing to assign parts, to balance the ensemble. But a lot of times people don't want to play the same part all the time. And I think the people in the band kind of understand who should be playing first part and who should be playing the solos and who might want an opportunity to play a solo. Nobody's really in it to be the star. They're kind of in it for the good of the ensemble, it seems.
Yeah, the people are actually really good about negotiating themselves, surprisingly so. We've never had a problem. People just come in and say, can I play first part in this? And you can play first part in this. And they're like, okay, cool. And so and then everybody's happy. And so
Ross, for example, you play flute in the band.
Yes,
And have since the band's inception. Will you play first part sometime?
Sometimes I will play first part. I did last night because I was the only flute that happened to be there. All the other flutes were gone. But normally I like to play second flute. I have lots of lung capacity, it seems. And so I'm a louder player, and it helps to have that stronger second flute voice in the mix. And so I let somebody else play the first flute, which tends to carry because it's normally higher. And then I helped to try to fill in that second part, and so it just works better for the ensemble that way.
So it seems like a pretty democratic kind of organization, if that's even the right word in this case.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it could be a lot of fun for the right kind of players. And let's remind people that if you want to join the Sounds of the Prairie Community Band, you are welcome, no matter what your band instrument.
Mm-hmm.
But in particular, let's review. You're looking for?
I'll let Christy give the list. She'll do it in the right order.
We're looking for flutes and lots of clarinets, maybe an alto sax and some trumpets for sure.
So it's all the high voices.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's that actually that way every year for whatever reason. The high voices are the ones that are always missing. We have a fantastic low brass section, just stupendous. So we have two tubas. I think we have four trombones, euphonium. We should have a baritone player. We have three horn players. So we just have a lovely brass section, the lower brass, but only three trumpets. We could use a few more trumpets, especially on some of these melodies, which have three cornet and three trumpet pieces.
So you could use a total of six.
That's right.
It would be very nice. And then percussion.
And then a percussion player. Especially a drum set player is ideal.
That's helpful information.
Yeah.
So if they want to join, what do they do?
Several different ways. They can show up at a rehearsal. We rehearse at Parkland in Building C, Room 148 on Tuesday nights. The rooms open usually at 6, but rehearsals start at 6:30. So you can just come and sign up there or just come and try it out. We have lots of people that just show up and say, I just like to try it one night. And a lot of those people just stay with the band, like Christy was saying earlier, because they have such a great experience. The second way is to register on our website, and that's communityartsresource.org. And you can just hit on the right on the front page. When you go there, it says register here, and you just click on that, and then it'll take you straight to the registration form. But there is a band tab where you can go learn more about the band. And then the last way is to probably give me a call. Should I give my phone number out on
if
the
you like.
On the radio?
That's entirely up to you.
I guess it's not in print, so it's safe, right? So my phone number is area code 217-590-4311.
Say that again a little more slowly.
Yeah, 217-590-4311. So just call. If I'm not there, leave a message, and then I'll get back with you.
And if anybody calls to make a pledge to WILL, I trust you'll refer them back to us.
Yeah, that's right.
Ross Bundy is president of the Community Arts Resource and chairman of the band. And Christy Lorberg is the new director this year. And their first concert is Saturday, June 21st in Kolb Park in St. Joseph, 7 o'clock in the evening, rain date of a week later. It's communityartsresource.org if you want more information and want to check out all the dates and how to get in the band and so on. Thanks, Ross and Christy, for coming on the program today.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Here's another piece that is on the program list. It may or may not show up on all of those concerts. It's called Whip and Spur, and this is one of these circus marches. This one by Thomas S. Allen, played here by the Eastman Wind Ensemble, conducted by Frederick Fennell. We'll be right back. So I snuck in an extra circus march. It's from a wonderful CD called Screamers, Circus Marches and March Time. I guess it's a combination of two LPs that were put onto CD. I believe that's the case. And played by the Eastman Wind Ensemble, conducted by Frederick Fennell. First, we heard Whip and Spur by Thomas S. Allen, and then Rolling Thunder by Henry Fillmore here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our programs are made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. Now, for those of you who were listening yesterday and heard me say just briefly that on today's program I would be talking with singer-songwriter Janice Ian, I was mistaken. I won't be talking with her today. I'm getting my weeks mixed up. She's going to be on the program next week, and we'll let you know the day as that comes along. But she will be performing in our area on June the 12th. Thursday, June the 12th, so a week from tomorrow at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. So that's something to look forward to if you want to go hear her live, or if you want to hear me chat with her next week on Live and Local, or both. You can certainly do both. Also at the very end of yesterday's program, I played a group called the Dust Bowl Revival out of California, and they were on our program playing live not that long ago, and we barely got to hear one of those pieces. And as it happens, I picked up the wrong CD. I was going to play that same piece, but this is a fun one also. It comes from a different CD. The CD's called You Can't Go Back to the Garden of Eden, and the tune, appropriately enough for today's program, is called Marching On.
A one, a two, a one, two. Keep marching on, keep marching on.
Cabin in the woods, the snow was 10 feet high. There was blood flowing down the rivers, there was blood raining from the sky. Out in a nasty field, a baby boy was born. Do what you got to hold, keep marching on. Keep marching on, keep marching on. Well, you lost two of your toes, but you keep marching on. What you gonna eat, nobody knows, but you keep marching on. They say Jerusalem is fed to Babylon. Do what the good book says, keep marching on now. Keep marching on, keep marching on. If you want to give up,
Marching On by Zach Lupitan and the Dust Bowl Revival from their CD You Can't Go Back to the Garden of Eden. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, I'm Kevin Kelly. Here are some other events you can see and hear live in our listening area besides the concerts coming up by the Sounds of the Prairie Community Band. It's Wednesday, June 4th. That means that there are a number of weekly events going on. The Gunny Sack Review is every Wednesday night at the Yoder Center in Arthur at 7 o'clock. And the weekly traditional Irish music session is at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign at 8:30. It's 42nd Street at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan at 8 o'clock tonight. And that continues for a while, including 8 o'clock tomorrow. And other performances coming up. It's Rodney Crowell at the Castle Theater in Bloomington tonight at 8 o'clock. Brian Maddox is at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. It's the Brothers Size being presented by the Definition Theater Company at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tonight at 7:30, and that's again tomorrow at 7:30, and that runs through Saturday. Kilbourne Alley Blues Band are at DR Diggers in Champaign tonight at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow it's the Illinois Premier Outdoor Summer Theater presenting The Diary of Anne Frank at Lincoln's New Salem State Historic Site in Petersburg. Pre-show at 7 o'clock, performance at 8 o'clock. That's tomorrow night, and also Friday and Saturday. James Armstrong plays the blues at the Alamo in Springfield tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. And the Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana presents the Stephen Sondheim Review, Putting It Together. 8 o'clock tomorrow is the opening, and that continues through the 21st, I believe. And then it's Denise LaGrassa at the Connie Link Amphitheater in Normal tomorrow evening at 5:30. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. Here's a look at our forecast. Tonight it'll be mostly cloudy and cooler with a low temperature around 55 degrees. Tomorrow mostly sunny with a high temperature of 75. And on Friday, mostly sunny, high temperature in the upper 70s. Looking ahead to Saturday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs on Saturday will be in the upper 70s. Our current temperature is 71 degrees, just about 4:58. All Things Considered is coming up with the news starting at 5:01 today. Here is the guitar duo known as Duo Mellis, who were recently performing at Millikan University in Decatur. Well, it's been a couple or few months now. And this is a performance of theirs of a fandango by Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco. Fandango en Rondo by Mariel Castelnuovo Tedesco, played by Duo Mellis, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. It's 5:01.